All right, so thank you for joining us today. We're talking with a special guest, João Hackerott, who opened a weather company called Tempo OK. And for those of you listening, Tempo means weather in Portuguese. And he provides forecasts for people in different parts of the globe. But before his meteorology business, he was a PhD student. So Michael and I wanted to talk to him to learn a little bit about how he got to where he is now. So Michael, you actually introduced us.
That's right, Morgan. Actually, we've worked together, right? Writing proposals and also discussing science. It's been really awesome.
Yeah,
So
me
welcome,
I sh
João.
yes, thank you, Morgan. Thank you, Michelle, too, for this interview. It's very nice to talk to you. And just a brief introducing myself. I'm a meteorologist and from São Paulo, Brazil. And I met Michelle quite a long ago. We worked together in my PhD when I was in Norway, and now we sometimes have some projects together, so it's very good to talk to you and participate to this interview.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. So, tell us a little bit about your company.
Well, the company, just like many others meteorology companies, we work in weather forecasting. So we do operational forecasts for 1 to 10 days, and recently we are also working for up to 30 days. So in the sub-seasonal to seasonal forecast, we see this is a market that's growing fast all around the world. And we do our forecasts in Belgingur, which is an Icelandic company for data processing. So they have some good computers, and we use their infrastructure to process our weather forecasts. Our customers are mainly in the renewable energy sector. So we do energy production forecasts for wind platforms, photovoltaic farms, and also hydropowers. Most of our customers are not only the generators, but also in the trade market. So still inside the renewable energy. But we have a few customers in the agro industry, in the offshore industry. We have done some outdoor events, like I'm a sailor, and so actually Tempo K was born for doing weather forecasts for outdoor events, especially in sailing. So at the beginning, back in 2012, we were surviving doing weather forecasting for sailing events. So
Wow.
Ilhabela Sailing Week, some sailing weeks. At the beginning, we were only in the outdoor events. Now we grow for the energy sectors and others. And
Wow.
well, so that's what we do.
Well, João, actually, that's really impressive. But actually, last year you finished your PhD at the University of São Paulo. And for people listening, just to mention that the University of São Paulo is one of the most important universities and one of the hardest to get in Latin America. And João actually finished his PhD there, but he also did a sandwich program at the University of Bergen. That's where also João and I interacted quite a lot. So you were doing your PhD and you participated in the Olympic team in Brazil in sailing, right? And at the same time, you opened a weather company. That's really impressive. What do you think about that, Morgan?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how that's even possible. So now you're running the company full time. So how did you get to where you are now, doing what you were doing before? Now you're here doing this.
Yeah, I think the plan is to do things that you can, one helps the other. So basically, I start meteorology because I was a sailor since 6 years old. So because of sailing, I love it weather. And because loving weather, I started meteorology, and then one thing brings another, and then you need money for sailing, and then you start a company. So that's how things work. And you try to make things that works for all of them. So basically, my PhD was in ocean atmosphere interaction, so it helps for sailing. And the company was born because it was born when I was in the master. So basically, I finished the university and I started master. In the first year of master, I opened the company, actually in the second year. I started the company basically because I need money. And I was sailing the events, and one guy came to me and said, "Oh, you are a good sailor and you are a meteorologist. Why don't you do weather forecast for us and we pay you something for keep participating
Awesome.
on the championships?" And so one thing brings the other, and then you finish the master, the company is still more or less surviving, but you want more, and then you start the PhD and keep sailing on the weekends and when the weather is good and
Wow.
things goes like this. I wasn't in any Olympic game, but I was the second of Brazil, like the reserve, the on London's game. After London, I quite of quit more or less. London 2000, so 2012. I was a professional sailor before the company. Let's put it this way. So from 2008 to 2012, I was very high-level professional sailor. After 2012, when I entered the master, and I was in the master, finishing the master, and thinking about the PhD, then I slow a little bit. So then I started sailing more only the weekends, but never quit. And now that I finished the PhD, I'm really thinking to come back in about 4 2 with my sister. So actually, one thing goes to helps the other. Meteorology helps in sailing, and you have to have a hobby. In my case, my hobby was a little bit more professional, but still, when I was in the PhD, one could see it as a hobby. So I was more sailing the weekends and every holidays and every vacations. So if I was not studying, I was sailing, and sailing was what my hobby. I love to sail. And so the tip is do what you like to do, and then you can do a lot of things together.
That's
Basically,
actually
yeah.
an amazing story. I'm sure Morgan will agree with me as well. That's really, really an amazing story.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that you found this passion that you just really loved, and you were able to make a business out of it. And the fact that it was meteorology involved, and there were customers that had a need that you could provide. It just seems like it really fit together.
I could say also that most of my customers, and this is something to learn. And when you start a company, a startup, people say the three Fs, right? The family, folks, and fools. So you will certainly start in this one. So what you need to at the beginning is know as many people as you can. And when you have a hobby and when you are kind of popular in something, then you start well. So from sailing, my first five customers were like the first 3 years of company was basically financed by these three Fs. So, and still nowadays, three of my largest customers, they came from sailing, and one from a friend in the university. So basically, this is a tip. If you want to start a company in a couple, if you are young and want be a nice person and have good friends and in what you do, because people knows people, and that's how the business starts.
Yeah, it's all about networking, right?
It's all about networking.
Being friendly,
yes.
Right?
I think this is the first beginning, networking and doing good in what you do. So
fantastic.
This is something for meteorology, because meteorology is very scientific here. So if you want to, meteorology is changing every year a lot. So every year we have some improvement in numerical modeling, something in specific. So you have to be every time updated. When I started meteorology, one professor who later became my PhD advisor, I remember in the first week he told us, meteorology doesn't stop in the university. You must do the master and then PhD. It's a science that it's improving every day, and you have to be updated. And this works also for the company. You have to be like kind of the academic to know what's coming. So being a PhD, it's part of the business, is part of the company, so you must be learning. Today, by the way, I was reading some papers about wind gusts. So the academy is always there, even if you are in the running a business.
And it's actually, I'm so glad you mentioned this point, Sean, because something that Morgan and I have been discussing quite a lot is that, and it's also part of our recent research, is that universities, we observe that are not preparing students to becoming entrepreneurs. And that's one concern that we have. Although universities are preparing, of course, people for research and science, as the wonderful example you've gave, right? Which is really, really important. But becoming entrepreneurs, it's something that normally you don't learn when you study meteorology. So Morgan and I were wondering, how did you actually become an entrepreneur, in the sense that normally you would need some skills. You mentioned some of the skills here, right? Networking and also being nice to others, as you pointed out. But did you take any course about business, about startups, and actually, how did you become an entrepreneur? How did you get those skills?
Well, to be honest, I have never done any course on administration. I had a partner in the beginning, and he told me once, it's much easier to make a scientist to become an administrator than the opposite. So basically it means that everyone can become an entrepreneur, just need to start somehow. And yeah, there are those basic things that you read in the internet, so about budget, so like basic financing plans. And you need to save a little bit some money, because you don't do everything. So this is something that like the company cannot depend only on you. So basically you must have someone to make the accountant work, to calculate the taxes. But this nowadays this is not expensive. Like you can contract someone in the internet, or there are many companies doing this. So basically myself, I'm more focused in developing products, and the part of the administration, it runs itself. It like by the way, I have my father's always tell me that on the company 70% must be marketing and getting new customers, and the other 30% must be on development. But you cannot never quit one of both completely. You can sometimes play, oh, today I work more for business development. Today I work more for metrology development. Always doing both, but more time for business and meetings and this kind of things. But yeah, coming back to the question, I don't think there is very specific course. What you have to do is keep in mind, keep the budget on the view, never do a step much greater, much larger than what you can do, but always go slowly increase, slowly going up. This is so those are more general ideas, but everybody could learn them easily, I think.
That's really great,
Yes.
João.
One thing that you
Thank you for
mentioned that I
sharing.
really found interesting is that you said that your academic background, being a PhD, going through the master's program and the PhD program, that helped you with your business stuff. I found that to be the case too, being an academic and learning the new skills that I needed to be an entrepreneur. It was much easier, I think, than if I hadn't had that.
Yeah, like having a PhD in your business card, this opens door. So basically, in our market, nobody really knows meteorology. If you go to even the engineers in the renewable energy sector, they will make you questions, and sometimes hard questions. And if you have the experience of a master and a PhD at defense, then you are much more prepared for this kind of questions. So it makes the meetings much more fluent. So when someone asks you about model, it's something I don't know about US, but here in Brazil, we don't really learn modeling, weather modeling forecasts in the university. We learned the basics and the calculus and the, but we don't really know how each parameterizations, each model of the model really works. You will learn this at the master and later in the PhD. And so when you are confident about this, about how the model works, how are the parameterizations, why was each parameterization made for, then you are much more confident about yourself in the business meetings. And showing confidence is everything in the when you are trying to close a deal, get a new contract, because the customer wants someone who knows what he's selling. And if you show it in the meeting that your chance to get a new contract is much higher. And this is something we are learning a lot. We were in the company. We were thinking to hire people outside of metrology to make this marketing and commerce. And business development, then we figured it out that no, we will always need a very good metrology on the business front to show this confidence to the customers. So yeah, so that's why being a PhD, it's very important in our sector, in our meteorology sector. Doesn't need a PhD, but at least a master. something that showed that you are a specialist in in what you are selling.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I think that's something that maybe we don't understand as scientists necessarily when we're new to the entrepreneurial area, is that being an expert in that, in whatever it is you're selling, is the selling point. That's what people are looking for. They want to know that they're buying from someone that knows what they're doing. And I think in the United States, we really have a problem with educating every other industry as to why meteorologists can be helpful for them. There's the forecast aspect, but sometimes you even have to remind them that, hey, your business is really impacted by the weather. We can help you with that.
Yeah, that's what we do every day, basically, showing that they need us, and we can help them to make more money with our data.
Exactly, right? It sounds like you've got some really, really excellent points. Just to wrap up our final sort of thoughts with you, you've talked a little bit about some things that maybe a young meteorology student or early career professional who's interested in starting their own business in the field, what sorts of advice you might give them. And we heard about the networking, the idea that you need to be involved in the marketing of it in order for it to be successful. What other things? Anything else?
One first thing is being persistent. So never give up. Sometimes you are down, but later you always come back. So first thing, you learn from sports, and this you can bring to the both academic and both company business. Never give up. This is first thing. In the university, you will have calculus. If you don't like calculus, but you want to be a meteorologist, you'll have to pass through it. So don't give up. Study a little bit more. It will pass someday. And in the future, if you can pass this stage, it will be much better. And then, so being persistent is one thing I didn't mention before, but yeah, this is something. And also, again, keep friendship, so be a nice people, always honest, and like a good person. This is something important, and the rest will come, I think. Yeah, certainly.
Absolutely. That's great. That's fantastic. That's pretty much all I had to ask. And if there's any final thoughts from Michael or?
No, I think this has been really, really great. Thank you so much for sharing all of this with us as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michelle. And thank you, Morgan, too. It was very nice to talk to you.
Thank you. We appreciate your time. It was a super interesting cast, and I can't wait to share it with everybody. So I'm just going to wrap up by saying, if you want to learn more information on entrepreneurial meteorology, feel free to check out our blog or reach out to Michael or myself.